Melissa recaps, potty talk, and listener feedback. All this and more on today's Brilliant Observations. Do, 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 do. Hi, Amy. How are you?
A big exhale was heard across the nation that you are currently in. Welcome back, weary traveler.
Hi, I'm back from Australia, and I'm speaking like a native. No, I'm not. I'm back. I'm grateful to be soon toes in sand, like toes on ground here. I am so grateful. And just to tell you, a 24-hour commute is not for the weak of anything. Week of stomach, week of heart, week of bowel, week of stomach and bowel, same. It's not for the weak. Let me just say that. And I'm pretty weak, so I don't know what to tell you. It's been fun. How are you doing?
I am in the holding steady land of lands, as they say. And doing okay. It's getting to be springtime faster here than anywhere else. And I'm curious, before we dive into me, you were in Australia. So yeah. Were you coming out of their most beautiful weather or heading into it? They're opposite us, right? So isn't it about, it was like fall when you were
it
there.
Is, yes? It was summer when I was there.
Okay,
it was,
okay.
And you could tell by the peeling on my forehead because day one, we took this cute ferry out to all like the little beach spots and past the opera house. And we did all the touristy things and we went to the zoo and I looked for Steve Irwin. He did. I looked for his son who he is hosting. Have you ever heard of the show? I Am a Celebrity. Get Me Out of Here.
I feel like I have, which is weird because I've never heard of anything that you hear of.
Which is
you know why? Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, I frequently hear about these shows that are actual fucking shows on other shows. On Ted Lasso, when the character went on Love Island, I thought they invented an entire reality show. And I was like, they put a lot of energy into that. That's ridiculous. Wow. And then I was like, oh, that's a real show? Oh, you know.
Right, because it's ridiculous.
So I feel like I've heard somebody say, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, or riff on it, probably in like a cooking show or something. Because the rest of the world has culture that I just, you know, I like to travel there and experience it for a week and then forget it exists.
Yeah, I don't think this is culture, but I think you might have heard about it because Stuttering John from the Howard Stern Show was on it.
Sure, maybe.
And
sure,
that would be your connection. But yeah.
And I just want to go on record as saying, you listen to Howard Stern or have been a devoted listener in the past, whether or not you've moved away. My husband is a devoted listener. He's been for a long time, back when it was juvenile and sexual and idiotic. He was in that mindset. And now he's kind of like Howard, where he's really just in it for the interviews and the rest of it's kind of who cares. So on long car trips, I am forced to hear the back catalog of all of the interviews. So I unwittingly listen to Stern quite a bit. Due to my travels, a schedule. So I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
So Robert Irwin, Steve Irwin's son, is hosting that now. He's 20. And if you want me to sing you the fucking jingle, because there are only like 11 channels in all of Australia that's free, I'll tell you every commercial because I'm a jingle girl. And he was born in Australia Zoo. Like, it's crazy. He's everywhere. And it was lovely. It was, just so you know, I texted Amy, dear listener, and I said, you were part of the panic. You were part of the whole thing. Totally worth it. I got to sniff and lick and I don't want it to come off wrong, but touch and squeeze and hug my boy. And that will be enough to get me through till he comes home because he's killing it. He's absolutely killing it. And I'm so fucking proud and it's great. I will tell you that while there, we did some touristy things. We took a couple of tours. I love being the youngest person on a tour. That always makes me happy. Somebody needs the bathroom more than I do. Yes, please. I approached a woman who was giving the tour. She had a headset on and a speaker on her waist. Okay, yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I do. I've been on those tours.
Yeah.
The only thing missing, and I pray it was missing, is the stick flag.
I knew where you were going. No stick flag. But her voice carried on her little speaker. And you know all the people were super old with us. So they're like, could you make that speaker any louder? Great. So I walked up to her as we're going to the next stop where she's taking us on a walking tour to ask, where do you think the closest bathroom would be for me to just sneak off and come back? Like, I am trying to be discreet. I have issues and I don't want it to get in the way of everybody else's joy and travel and trip. So I asked quietly on the down low. That is not how she responded to me. Because
that doesn't sound like tour guide behavior.
She was mic'd and speakered up. So she said, oh, screaming in the middle of Sydney. There's a loo over. And she starts to, I'm like, I feel my face turning red. I'm like, is this a hot flash? It is now. It was mortifying. Could you please not announce to the entire trip that this, the youngest one of the trip, because I am by a year, then my husband, needs to peel off and go to this potty and that potty and that potty and that potty. But then all of Sydney knew. So that ship had sailed. And
well, as they say, in every bookshelf, everybody poops, Melissa. It's okay.
Yeah.
You're a human being having a human experience. Actually, you're a spiritual being having a human experience. But that human experience involves urine. So gotta let it flow. Find a receptacle.
You just did
the right thing.
I was super embarrassed. And we learned some really great stories about how they address the Aboriginal history and everything. They have to say, we are grateful for these lands. We are grateful for these people who came before us. And it's kind of great. It's not enough or whatever it is. But then I started to think about this country. And my son is literally studying Australia. He's studying the country, the people. We got a good lesson or 11. And what was funny was there are stories. How many of them are true? I mean, there's the wooden teeth story here. Is that true? I chopped down a cherry tree. I cannot tell a lie. Are these stories true or lessons we're trying to teach?
Well, the cherry tree story is not true at all. That was invented by a writer, as was the whole night before Christmas thing. So it's like because you would think that's true based on historical fact. I tend to come into awareness of things that writers made up, because as a writer, it's like, yeah, fuckers, because we say it, you do it.
So
the teeth was made up. I don't know about the teeth, but the cherry tree was definitely invented by an article. So, but kind of who cares? I mean, we share a common mythos, right? Our legend don't stretch back that far. So everybody does it their own way. I still always love Scotland because their national crest includes fucking unicorn on it. If you got mythical creatures in your actual crest,
right.
I'm with you. I'm down. You figured it out. You win the game of this ridiculous life. Let's go. So tell me more about Down Under.
I'm sure things will seep out over the next few weeks, but just a couple of things that I wanted to tell you is we walked into a restaurant. She looked us up and down and told us we had 1 hour to eat. Excuse me?
Did she only say that to you?
We went for breakfast. And we're like, hi, can we just get a table? I just needed an egg. Like, I needed something before we did our next. And she looked us up and down and said, you have 1 hour. And she walked us into the restaurant. I was like, what the fuck did she? I wanted to flip a table and run out. But as I'm walking by, I see the Nutella French toast with bananas strewn on top. And I thought, I could do this in an hour. I could do this in an hour. Who does that? Have we ever done that?
I don't even know where to start. Were you bumping up against the next seating? Did they have an event coming in? Or did she think, check you out, America. We roll.
I don't know. It wasn't even, maybe it was a Saturday. I don't know. But she was rude as fuck and gave us an hour. And I said, Australia, France, where are we right now? Is this Australia or France? But she might have been French. 1 hour. That's something I had never, ever seen before. I also want to tell you, when they asked Aboriginals, what is this, what is this, what is this? And their answer, so they were pointing to a kangaroo. And they say, what is this, what is this? And their kangaroo means I don't understand. So they didn't know what these people were saying. And they said, kangaroo. And I thought, oh, my God, that's so funny. This animal is now named kangaroo.
It breaks my fucking heart.
Because
I have to stop you right now. I don't know how you
Turns out it's not true. Turns out it's not true.
But as a fiction, I just have to, I'm having such a visceral yeah. response. I don't know how you felt when you heard that standing
frustrated,
in your tour,
but
I'm gutted. And honestly, I'm going to start crying. It makes me so really upset. Wow. I can't even get over it. The tears are flowing out. That shit is shocking to me. That's just shocking that the level of disconnect, even if it's a fiction, the level of disconnect between two people who are standing in physically the same place, looking at the same creature and have no way to communicate about it. And then to formalize that miscommunication.
That's
in such
the frustrating part. Yes. Yeah.
Feels so, and like it's a combination of disrespect and futility and cultural appropriation. Like I'm layering so much shit onto this. I don't know why, but God, I would have had to leave the group to pretend find a toilet to hear that. I'm really upset. So
she would have announced it for you.
Tell me how it kept going. That's really crazy.
No, I just thought like we in this country are going through a, I don't think we should teach that history because it makes my children feel badly. And I so frustrated. And Australia does it so differently. They acknowledge. And I mean, is it enough? Again, I don't know enough about things. And I wish people who more so didn't know enough about things would shut the fuck up. So I will choose not to stand on a soapbox. But I will say I appreciate it's like appreciating the warning on cigarettes. Well, they're doing it and they're going through the motions. And the fact that anything you do, when you land there, they say, we are grateful for this land and its natives who came before us and that kind of thing. And it's kind of beautiful. And I'm confident Australians do not hear it anymore, right? Because it's just the same way smokers don't look at the pack
of
cigarettes.
I don't love it. I wouldn't love it. I don't love it. I don't love any part of it.
I appreciate that they say it as opposed to coming from a country where they're like, that doesn't exist and we're not going to talk about it because it makes me feel icky.
It's kind of I'll bring it home to roost here. It's kind of like Joe Biden still maybe has not said the word abortion or close to it, which is a real hard turn from what you're saying. But at a certain point, going back to when did Ronald Reagan first say AIDS or did he ever say AIDS? At a certain point, people are dying. I don't care if you fucking say it. Like, don't I don't take a victory in this micro measure of saying thank you for this shit that we
fleeced
taken,
you
that
right.
we well I mean it's we all of our histories all of us Americans aren't I don't know that we're actually the worst. We're certainly top 10 in terms of how
I'd
we
say top 2 or 3, but yeah,
okay, great, sure, but it's really only because of my poor knowledge of global history that I can actually make the claim that or you can make the claim that we're that high. Everybody is a tale of plunder and stealing from somebody else. And to continually remind folks, I'm so glad we stole this. I feel grateful for what we stole. I'm so grateful we.
I don't know, they phrase it that way,
but
I hear what you're saying.
Ruined your culture and, yeah, and decimated. Like, it's just, it's sort of like, does it make it better? I'm sure it's something. I'm sure it's something. Do you want to walk into, do you want to land the plane in JFK and say, we're so grateful for the slaves we raped and abused for generations that we can land this plane today. Not doing anything to fix it. We're just reminding you of the shit we did.
We gratefully acknowledge.
We
Stop
did
there.
Terrible things and we still benefit. That's what I hear. That's what it is. We did terrible things and we still benefit. Sorry. Like that's so, it's like, I don't want that sentence. So maybe it does something for that culture, and maybe just the fact that it's coming out of their mouths is so much better. People are talking now about King Charles. When's he going to say cancer? When's he going to, you know, all this nonsense that's going on? It's like, I don't care if you say it. I'm looking for more. I don't know. Anyway, I wasn't there. You were there. So the sentence itself is the thing we're talking about.
Well, the fact that they acknowledge in at venues, at like at the beginning of literally everything, I went to see.
It sounds like you're saying it comes down to you have a choice in air travel and we're glad you chose
That's what
us.
It sounds like. That's what it sounds like. We went to see a very off-Broadway show. Just kidding. We went to see a musical while we were there because
wow.
It's what we do. And we saw the show And Juliet.
Oh, okay.
Which was excellent. It was excellent. It is a jukebox musical. Did you see it yet?
No.
It'll come to Greensboro.
I feel like we were just talking about this. We were talking about Romeo and Juliet, but I don't think it was in this context. So anyway, this is an updated take.
It's more so, it's a musical that uses the music of Britney Spears, and it uses Backstreet Boys, and it uses like all pop songs that you knew 10 years ago, and it's fantastic, and it's a reworking of that story, as maybe Juliet didn't die after she woke up and saw this dead dude next to her. Maybe she said, I'm going to make some choices for me, and... dude, I'm sorry this didn't work out. I knew you 4 days. I'm out. And that's kind of what we saw. But at the beginning of that, they said it too. And I thought, all right, I'm getting it now. Nobody in this country hears it anymore, but it's something you have to say. Like, please open your Werther's Originals now. Amy.
Yes, ma'am.
I found a new snack while in Australia that I absolutely got addicted to and brought back 10 packs of. And... might regret it as my teeth
what
fall out.
In the what? Spill it.
Lifesavers makes a candy, which you're going to tell me it's circus peanuts, but it might be, but it's not, in the shape of and taste of bananas.
Ew.
I know. Mm. Everybody hates artificial banana flavor except
right,
for
or,
me.
Let's claim it. Real bananas. Like, come on. They're okay.
I love
I'm not
bananas.
A fucking monkey. I mean... my antics may suggest otherwise. However, all right. I thought you were going to say like wallaby licorice or something like this.
I saw a wallaby. I saw a koala bear. I pet his tushy.
Wow.
And then as I pet his tushy, I remember, Annie, they all have chlamydia. Why are you touching koala bears?
She's such a fun friend.
They all have chlamydia. Yeah, I washed
it's
afterwards.
So fucking weird. Who even has that sentence loaded up? Just
she
waiting
does.
To say it, right? Like, fun she facts does. On a Saturday. I wonder which animal kingdom is rife with chlamydia. Let's get that and make sure I keep it loaded up in a tab in my brain.
Is the koala?
Next time I see one of these non-indigenous creatures, I can tell you about their sexual proclivity and diseases.
Okay. Yes, and they were brothers, and they were separated, and I said, hey, I understand they're boys, but why are brothers separated? They came out of the
same... They have chlamydia.
And she said, because they'd fucking kill each other. And I thought,
okay,
oh,
great.
My brothers probably would too if you put them in the same place for too long. While we were gone, my two girl female canines went at it, and not in the fun way, but they fought.
No.
And I didn't know that smartly.
Wait a minute. Were they home?
Yeah.
Or were they at a kennel?
They were home with a pet sitter, and she didn't say a word. And when I got home, it was on a letter that she wrote to me. I didn't want to ruin your trip. Everything's fine. But
so she knows you, because it would have ruined your trip, and you would have flown home like a crazy person.
Totally would have ruined my trip. She did the right thing. I don't know that I would have flown home. This was just too far. Tell me
about the fight, and then we'll circle back.
The girls went at it. It happened twice. She said no, and it ended. And the second time, it didn't end. So there was no blood, but today I'm finding marks and bruises on the dog that's the smallest and took the worst of it. So,
well, the good news is it happened while she was there to witness the whole thing.
Correct.
It wasn't something that happened. I guess they're in kennels. Are you putting them in kennels when she's not home, or do you give them free reign?
No, they have free reign of the downstairs of the house when we leave, but... yeah, I was grateful that it was she who was there. I think they panic more. We were gone too long. It would have been over $2,500 to leave them at a kennel. And I, what? No. Sorry. Although we wound up paying a fuck ton for parking at the airport that screwed us just as much.
That's so ridiculous.
Before I leave the potty talk in the dust, my dogs are fine. Let me just close that. My dogs are okay.
I presume it was over food. She was probably there feeding them or a toy or what. Oh, she didn't even get into it.
She didn't tell me anything. I have one of them in the room with me right now, the bruised one, because she's little and she can go with me anywhere she wants now. She's also really old. So fuck you for picking on an older, smaller dog. That's a douche move, kid. So I have to shun that other dog for maybe an hour. And hope she understands. Hey, back to potty talk, because it is us. You go on a trip to Prague.
Yes, ma'am.
Obviously, they're all away bathrooms that you're using. Let's talk the ones not in your hotel. Do you line the seat with toilet paper?
No, of course not. I will hearken back to my post-Prague recap conversations on this very show. And I can tell you that, at least in Prague, all of the toilets are private and paid. There is no public toilet. You literally use a credit card. You run it through a turnstile before they will even let you in. And there is, in every single case that I experienced, an attendant in there continuously cleaning while people are doing it. It is pristine. It is the cleanest bathroom you've ever seen in your life. So, yeah, you wouldn't even think to use the paper. And even if there was paper in there, I don't want to sit on paper. I just don't. So I never have ever in my entire life ever used paper.
Oh,
I will either plop down in it.
Oh my God.
And let the literal chips fall where they may.
Are you kidding?
Nope. Or I will hover and get myself splashed with my own tinkle tankle. I have never once in my I'm not gonna sit on a fucking how many germs do you think you're keeping off your body with that partially waxed paper that is going to stick to my thighs and my poopy. It's going to go all, it's going to stick to my body and tear off. Like, I'm not, I can't, I won't, I'm not done. I'm just going to fucking sit in it. That's the way it is. At a certain point, I'll take a shower. Let's go. Let's go. Do you know how much dirtier the rest of the world is compared to a toilet seat? Do all the math. Watch them shows.
I can't.
I've never sat on a fucking tissue. Who sits on tissue? Sometime. Oh, my other favorite. Back in college. You're going to love this shit. Uh-oh. I think I got this from Carrie. I was going to say her name. She probably don't want me to say her name. You know who you are. From Carrie. Boop. Yeah. I think she used to sit on her fucking hands. She would put her palms face down on the toilet seat, then sit on the back of her palms.
No.
And I'm like, gal pal, let me help you.
Call her right now.
What you doing? That'd be like, I know, I'll put my lips on the toilet and then I'll keep the germs off my ass that way. It's like, if you put your hands on the germs, that's the germs, baby. Yeah. She would sit on her hands.
No, I can't. No.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm defaming Carrie, but somebody did it.
I say we call her right now to find out.
It was described to me to do this. And I vividly remember, of course, she'll say, this didn't happen. I feel like...
like my mother.
I feel like Janine was like doing the quick vomit in your hand, like, bleh, like don't ever do that. She always, to freak her out sometimes, I'll lick my phone in front of her and she can't handle it. She's like, do you have any germs on that phone? And I'm like, shut up, germs. Blah. Oh, because she's like, don't let shit touch the table in a restaurant and all this stuff, which I don't like to do because of etiquette. But also, I don't care. I don't care. I'm earthy. What do you want me to say to you? I live on the earth. It's got lots of germs. It's okay. So do I. Yeah, never sat on that tissue paper. Never.
Oh,
not my whole 100-year life.
That to me is unsanitary and unwise and just gross because, okay.
How many times do you sit on the tissue? Let's break it down. Is it every fifth time? Is it 50-50? How many times do you sit on the tissue?
In a public restroom,
well,
100% of the time I sit on tissue paper that I put
You're an always, I'm a never. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm just as shocked. I'm disgusted by the Carrie theory of sitting on your hands.
Yeah, she fucking did that.
But I cannot get past that, but... Yeah, I put down paper before I sit on some place that 1,000 other tushies have used today, each day.
You know what? Maybe it wasn't. It was definitely Carrie. But if it wasn't Carrie, then it was my friend Christina, who I really, really love her. I really, really love her. She has joined up with the QAnon friends. I haven't spoken to her in a long time, but she's an active. I would maybe say aggressive part of it. She actively promotes it. She's one of these wants to tell you about it, blocks you out of her life kind of people. I feel like we had a lot of pee cups. She was also one told me about peeing on the curb. I bet she was probably Christina. Yeah. Cause you know about peeing on the curb, right? Her whole thing was when you have to pee and you're out with your people, just have a seat on the curb and people think you're taking a little break. But instead what you're doing is you sit on the curb, you scoot your underpants out of the way, and you piss down into the street. But it looks like you're seated. Yeah, I bet you she's a hand sitter.
This is a really classy friend of yours. I'm going to... Something rang true about
Carrie. We had a lot of fun.
Okay, so this is a discussion I had with my kid you know where. Separating the artist from the art, Okay. This is a friend of yours, right?
Yeah. And yeah, was. She has. Time was. Yeah. Co-worker turned friend.
Oh, co-worker. Co-worker turned.
Well, I hired her. So it was a hire turned co-worker turned friend turned see you.
You can't be.
Every 6 years yeah. do I have. Now I see you on social media.
You can't be friends with somebody who believes shit like that, right?
Not close circle friends. No. No, that you. If you are a close circle friend and you are interested in QAnon, you are now removed to the outer circle, if not removed entirely. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, because I had this conversation. We've talked about it with Michael Jackson and my son.
Well, I gotta break it down. I gotta break it down now.
Oh,
let's say you learn that your aunt, your mother-in-law, is now QAnon. Do you just decide I'm not speaking to you anymore?
Kinda.
Or do you look at it from a different perspective, which is, and I'm just going to say straight up, QAnon, is, when we say that as the shorthand, it's people who have been tricked into misbelief. It's a kind of a cult misbelief.
Absolutely.
That's damaging to them. Okay. So it can happen to anybody. It has nothing to do with your education level. You have literally been tricked. So when your mother-in-law, when someone that you have a vested long-term love interest in, falls victim to that system of thinking.
Go ahead.
Don't you take it upon yourself to try to get a little closer and try to extradite from the cult?
I share my opinion about that. I listen and I say, that's as much as I can take. I think you have a very large sack of faulty, I'm going to give you air quotes on facts, opinions. And I will no longer have these discussions with you because kind of like how I feel about people having opinions on Israel right now and wearing Palestinian pins to the Oscars and not knowing what that pin really stands for because you've seen the horror of dead children. I get that. But you don't fucking know what you're talking about. And until you do, I'm not having a conversation with you because we are coming at it from facts and from crazy. And that does not make a good debate. It just makes Melissa super frustrated and lose respect for. So when I say we're going to agree to disagree and I slowly back away from you and you never see me in your call log again, this is why. So no, I don't feel the need to get closer to educate, but I would like to say, please educate yourself because you sound uninformed and stupid. And I know that you are neither of those things in other aspects of your life. So educate yourself. And that's my only platform for the QAnons, the Palestinian pins from celebrities who know nothing and history.
Okay, but I'm gonna pick at this a little bit longer.
Pick away.
I'm gonna pick at the edge of this embroidery and see if we can
or scab.
Up,
go ahead.
Loosen up the flower.
Scab.
Here
go ahead.
And see what happens. Change the pattern a little bit.
Go ahead.
I am very curious at your response because you root it in there is only one truth, and you are so far you other person are so far outside the truth. You either need to abandon what you're doing and the only way to rejoin our community is to abandon what you're doing. You are outside the bounds of our good graces, of our love, of our respect. There is no middle ground. There is no demilitarized zone. There is just the truth bubble, which we are in, and then all who are outside it. And the further outside it you are, the less time, attention, love, space I have for you. That's what I'm hearing what you're saying. So I'm curious about it because we all know, and you will agree, there is not one truth. That's where this gets incredibly muddy and why folks at various points of any factual spectrum can be at odds from each other because from their vantage point, they perceive that they have the truth and they themselves could make the same sentence right back to you. So it's like, how do we get at the truth? And it's particularly easy to put it in the context of Israel, Palestine, because there are so many vantage points. There is so little factual awareness, and there is so much misinformation surrounding the entire thing, TikTok chief among them, right?
Right.
In terms of what it's promoting and how it's targeting in every single facet, right? So bringing it all the way back to QAnon, if we can for a second have the compassion to understand this person feels exactly the way that you feel about you. This person feels as if they're standing in the truth bubble looking out at you. Now, I'm not suggesting let's all collectively, you know, take our brains out of our heads and pretend they're correct and we're the wrong ones and come to learn from them. That's not what I'm saying. But knowing that two sides are so diametrically opposed because they believe the same thing, essentially, it's kind of fascinating. So there's got to be.
Oh, it's definitely fascinating.
There's got to be a middle ground. So I guess it's also because there's a woman in my circle. She is the mother of a close friend, and she's definitely QAnon aligned. I don't talk to her ever about it. I don't. And she has the common sense. Well, she has the common sense to not wear shirts promoting this everywhere she goes and bring flags and create conversations. Like my friend Christina is that person I just described. She is she is on the tip of the spear.
Fun at parties.
I want to she is an active promoter. I want everyone to know, like, she is a zealot. I want more people to know about this. I will show up wearing the thing. I will cut you down if you're not like me. That's not who this other person is. This other person is here because we're all here to celebrate Sharon's, you know, mobile floral business that she launched today. So we came out to this cocktail party. Isn't that fun? Let's all raise a glass. And after five glasses, when somebody starts talking politics, the conversation might get a little bit, you know, gravelly. But that's about as far as it goes with this other person. But in private moments, because she's connected to my friend, I absolutely know she's up in it. She's watching the TV show. She's continuing to get indoctrinated. So should we pull her out? Should we have a painful conversation that is softening around the edges? Should we pull at her a little bit to say, I'm concerned that maybe the information you're getting isn't what you think it is? Like, is it worth trying to extradite her from that situation? Or is it not my responsibility and that's just going to damage the relationship? Like, that's the curiosity that I
have. I honestly feel like a lot of that has to do with how close you are to the person. If it were, you said in your example, my mother-in-law, yeah, I might have a conversation with her. However, if it is Christina or someone in a periphery, the only thing I have to say, only thing I have to say is, we're going to agree to disagree. I really wish you would educate yourself better on this topic. You don't have a dog in this race. I do. So I would like to ask you, with, I don't know, hundreds of years of history on my back, to read some history, to even look at the beginning of QAnon and how this started, to look at October 7th, where there was peace-ish. Like, I need people to really just shut the fuck up.
And I'm going to jump right in because I hear us doing something, I'm going to call it dangerous, which is blending two completely disconnected viewpoints and areas of misinformation. QAnon and the situation with Israel and Palestine, they are not connected in any way. The only thing that I'm doing is these are two, we could throw abortion into the mix.
Opposed.
These are
Toes.
Simply
yes,
two
of course.
Could not be for, yeah. So
dear listener,
nothing,
you get that, right? I brought this up because my son started listening to Pink Floyd. And I said, Roger Waters really fucked me for that one because he came out flat earthing anti-Semite. Like, he came out hardcore.
Right.
And because I raised a child who thinks and who does research and is a world beater, we had a conversation at dinner and he was sharing what he liked about The Wall, the album and whatever. And his father and I looked at him like, yeah, I used to like that too. One of our first dates was at the planetarium and we saw a laser light show. We saw Laser Floyd. That tells you exactly who I was in my youth. And we loved it. We just can't at this point. And he went back to his dorm and he did some research and he wrote, like, 2 hours later, he wrote me a text that said, damn. Not even just bad, like horrible. Like, it's just,
this is why we can't have nice things.
This is why we can't. And then this. So yes, there are seven different topics we have here, but they're all really getting to the point of there are people in the world, in your life, God help you, in your family, who are diametrically opposed hoes. Like, what do you do when it's like that? If it's someone you love, can you reach out with the warmth of the phrase you used? If it's somebody you don't give a fuck about, you could use my less warm phraseology. But is it your job? I don't know. Do you want that relationship? Is it, you said this year, I'm not knocking on doors anymore. I did this already. I've educated the amount of people I'm going to educate. I made two kids who have intense knowledge about several things, and they are now in the world. Can I go back into my house and not fly in the air for 24 hours ever again and just have my space, my things, and keep my dogs from fighting? Like, that to me is my goal. I don't need to educate the whole world about things. I would like to make the whole world laugh a little bit and giggle and share something joyful, but I'm no longer feeling the need to engage in making people less stupid, making people less, I don't know, uninformed. It's not
my job.
No,
I think that's it. I think you've lighted on it. The challenge is, what takes the greater priority in your life? Is it maintaining a relationship, even if it's problematic? Or is it maintaining an ideology, even if it's problematic? Right? Is it more important to you to be aligned with an ideology over this relationship? And it sounds really negative when I say it that way, and I don't intend it to be that way. But at the same time, I'm not hanging out with Nazis, and that's not really a question for me. Like, I don't have
that's
any
a hard
kind
line.
Of, I don't have any intellectual difficulty. Should I keep this Nazi in the fold?
Is that wrong?
Like, no. It's like, and if anything, I don't feel like Nazi is a strong enough word anymore. I feel like this next sentence is not even happy for me. It's not comfortable for me to say. I feel like we're all too a little relaxed about using the term Nazi. Like, whatever happened to the fucking Voldemort of it all? Like, I don't even want to say it. I want it to be so ugly and hateful and hurtful that just to have it in your mouth is something that gives you the ick, right? And now it's like, Nazi, Nazi, Nazi. There's a lot of them everywhere again. Why? It's like the fucking measles. We did this already. We don't want it. Who's bringing it back? Just stop. There ain't nothing good about you. Go away. Go away. So, yeah, I already know that Nazis are a no. That's a real
hard
real quick,
pass.
That's a real quick no.
That's
for
not
me.
For me, right?
Yeah, that's I'm an out. See ya. Bye. That's I'm not even staying at this party. I'm not coming back to this party. Lose my number, okay? Forget that I was at the party. I'm going to write a statement of why I mistakenly went to a party that I now regret. Like, this is no chance that I'm coming to your mobile floral business cocktail
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, but to your point, it is, that's the intense one that's easy to identify, right? I'm not friends with Nazis, but to that point, there are underlying things in most people. It's just, are your underlying issues aligned with mine, or
well,
are they?
Well, that's the thing. It also becomes fun and quizzical.
Yeah.
To remember that we as humans don't understand a whole lot about this experience. So I have this keyhole theory that everybody has a little bit of information from looking through the keyhole. So if we start adding those together, we can maybe come up with a picture of what that room looks like on the other side of the keyhole, right? So I'm open to entertaining other people's vantage points, perhaps more than I should be, because
yours is like a sociological experiment. You're like, really, do tell me more about
well,
those kangaroos.
Well, I am always interested, right. And I'm a writer too, so I like at heart whether, you know, I'm just that's who I am. I'm always interested in the story and writing stories and inventing stories and truth. You know, what is that really?
Truth.
You know, fib. It's all, they're the same. They're the fucking same. Truth, fib. You know, it's okay.
I'm so grabbing that, and you know it.
They're the same.
Okay.
They're the same, really.
Your husband goes out. Uh-oh. While he's out, he's grabbing something to eat or before he leaves. Hey, yeah. Ames, do you want a little something? And you say, because you don't know. He doesn't know where he's going or what do you get? You say, no, thank you.
Correct.
If he comes home without anything for you, how soon do you file for divorce?
I'm actually pleased about it. I'm the one person that I'm pleased about it. I am. I don't want it. I don't want it. And it's because it's food. If he was going out somewhere to buy, you know,
what?
Tchotchkes for the house. I don't know.
Yeah, no, maybe you want to pick that out yourself, but you know fucking French fries are uniformly amazeballs.
No, I don't want it. I don't want it. Well, because I also am very comfortable saying, like, we have been around this horn enough times that he knows my order everywhere we would go.
Agree.
Like, and you know what I mean? So invariably, he will bring home something anyway, and I don't want it, and I don't eat it.
What if you want it later? Away. No.
But we throw it away. He always overbuys. That's the other thing. So it's easier for me to say, please don't, and I mean it, because there's never a penalty if he doesn't. There's always a penalty when he does, because he'll come home, he'll go to the bakery, and he'll get so excited. He'll come home with 5 loaves of bread, and 3 people live here. That's too much bread. And then I try to put it in the freezer, and our teenage child is such a fucking culinary snoot hole that he won't allow it. He's like, what did you want to do with the bread? And I'm like, well, put it in the freezer like the bakery does. Mm. Okay?
Right.
Get over yourself. And he's like, I'm not going to eat that. Bleh. So, yeah. So it's like, okay, let's let it mold on the counter and then discard it.
So he's smart, your spouse. Brian, he's smart because he knows there is no punishment for not bringing home something. In my house, that's the opposite.
Yes, if I always was pissed off, like I would only have to get pissed off one time, and then that's the hard part about him. He no longer buys me gifts, right? Because he's not a good gift giver. And I go out of my way to try and soften. Like, it's such a burden when you receive the stupidest gift that you don't want that's very expensive. Because now it's your share of the resources that have been wasted twice. Once on something you don't want, and twice on not returning it and recouping that money. So what am I doing?
It is the resources that you mentioned first, but it's also...
So he turns around into this, just to put the cap on that pen. So he turns it around, and again, it's my fault that he's not capable of getting a decent gift for me. Maybe I'm hard to buy gifts for. I'll accept that. Well, sure. Okay, that's possible. Guess what? Keep trying. Ask questions. Do better.
Instead,
you have undoubtedly... been in his presence when he has said the phrase, she's terrible to buy gifts for.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've heard him say
that.
Because he says it to every person on the planet at least once in front of me. And I'm like, gee, thanks. Not only do I not get a gift and do I not get the thoughtfulness of somebody trying to understand me well enough to get me something I might like, I also get insulted in front of all of my friends for somehow being the reason that I can't get a gift.
And
is me? It's my fucking fault?
If you don't get a shitty gift and receive it well, you're also a dick for being a bad gift receiver as opposed to...
Just so...
This is
for
delightful.
Christmas this year, I went out of my way for my birthday to get the item number of the thing that I wanted. He didn't get it. He didn't buy it. He didn't get it for me. Totally forgot. The children said, I thought you were going to get that, Dad. That's why I didn't get it. Yeah, it didn't happen.
Wow.
So for Christmas, he did the thing he always does, which is to get something very similar to the thing that I asked for that he thought was better, which was, of course, a million times worse and stupider. So he got it for me, and it was not only that, it was $6. So what? Yeah, so... I can't even get the thing that I want that is under $10. That I can't even fucking get that. Like, yes, I could have bought it myself.
You got me a diamond encrusted toilet bowl cleaner. That's not what I wanted.
That's the point. I'll just call it what it is. I wanted chef's tongs. And by that, I mean, if you've ever seen someone plating a dish with their, like, tweezers, like the tweezer ones,
yep,
that they're not used for, like, flipping meat. They're used for maybe putting herbs on a dish.
Fine, yes.
Okay, so I wanted stainless steel chef's tweezers. That's what I wanted. And I found a pair that were, you know, like $9, I think. It was not a big deal. So he ended up getting me ones that are completely black, coated in Teflon, not stainless steel, with round edges that look like paddles.
How are you picking things up with a round
pickleball? It's like a fucking Timu met Dollar Tree Barbie version of the...
Tiffany, because you know he didn't spend nothing on it. So.
There could not be any part of that I want less of. And it was a 2-pack So I know how shitty they were because I also got them on our shared Amazon cart. So when it arrived on the front doorstep, I picked it up and put it on the counter for a week for him to then wrap. Really? Really? You know what I got him for Christmas?
Oh, God.
What? I went out of my way to get a specific pair in a specific size of Uggs indoor-outdoor slippers so that when he is out with the dog, his feet don't get cold because he's been wearing slip-in Crocs that our other son has abandoned, and his feet always get cold. And I'm like, well, he's not a slipper wearer, but this would be a nice thing. And I'll make sure I get the one that are big enough because he wears a wide foot and he's 14 wide. It's a big fucking shoe, all right? So it was a $140 pair of slippers.
And your wrong tongs.
He doesn't like them. He doesn't like them. I had them. I had my child help me vet them because then there was some Hawaiian brand, the Halai or some other kind of brand that I thought was better. And he's like, no, they're too thin. Get this. So everyone loves these Uggs except my husband because he wants now slip-in shoes that don't have a back heel because I guess he wants his feet to get cold. Is that the idea when you go outside?
You know they have lined Uggs. I'm just saying.
These are the lined Uggs. These are everything about them. It's just they work like little shoes instead of the slip-in ones.
Yeah.
The ones that are like Birkenstock looking, like the the Boston clogs. Because I thought, you don't want your feet, and if it's raining, you also just, how hard is it to slip into a slipper as opposed to slip into a mule? You can fucking do it. But I guess that's the thinking that got me those horrific Teflon paddle tweezers.
My son has picked up my gift for gifting. He hears in your speech what he thinks you like or you want or you talk about, and he has picked that up. It skipped a generation. My husband doesn't have it, to the point where, Amy, I think I'm being wooed. Someone out there, and I'll tell you who it is, I am being wooed.
Wow.
I have been an anti-Eagles fan
for
my whole life because I am a Giants fan. It's just bred into me. I am being wooed by the Eagles. They had somebody who did dog fights. And if you've listened to the show for five minutes, you know that a diametrically opposed hoe right here. So I could never, would never. He's been gone so long now. Well, they acquired Saquon Barkley, who right from the best of the cream of the crap is what I like to call him. He's phenomenal. So the Eagles have acquired Saquon Barkley. Now the Giants are guaranteed the first 50 picks in a draft because they suck so bad. The only thing they had going for them was Saquon Barkley. Okay, great. All right, Eagles, I think you're wooing me. Wait, you just took Kenny Pickett from the Pittsburgh Steelers, who was at Pitt with my kid, All right, so it is official. I have no choice next year, to root for the home team.
She did not.
I am now a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I have no choice. You took on Saquon Barkley. Kenny Pickett is your backup. I'm in. Sorry to go from politics to sports, two things
could not be more shocked if I had name recognition for any of the people you just mentioned.
Oh, you know who Travis Kelce is.
I don't know who any of that. Travis Kelce, I know.
You know
because
who he is.
I saw him crying when he retired.
So Jason Kelce played
And the Travis Kelce, let me tell you. Jason Kelce was the footballer.
They both play football, but Jason Kelce played. He retired for the Eagles. Travis is.
The thing about that, I don't know if I mentioned that on the show or if I just told somebody when we were out having a drink. At his retirement speech, did I mention this on the show?
Where we all cried like bitches, yeah.
Did I mention it?
No.
Okay, so at his speech, or maybe before it, one of the last things that he did was have his trainer tape up his ankle before the speech so that his trainer could tape it up one last time.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. He had him tape him up before he went out
to talk.
so that he could have the official last time that he ever got taped by the trainer.
That's so sweet and sad and sweet.
I know.
He is.
No, that just speaks to.
Jason is
delightful.
That
speaks to an understanding of culture and community and ritual and respect.
And sport.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what sport is in my household. That's what sport is in my household. That's why it is sacred in so many levels. There are parts of it that are super not great, There are parts of every aspect of our lives that are super not great. We cling to the parts that are good. And that's a part that was pretty good. So I don't know any of the people that you were talking about. Similarly, I don't know any of the things that happened. It's just so exciting talking about sports and ritual and moment to have at least one time where you go to a school where you can all be wrapped up in frenzy and run out into the street and lose your minds for a moment. We didn't really have that at Delaware.
Delaware wasn't a school like that. Although yesterday,
we had that getting drunk. Yeah.
Although yesterday was the ginger run for St. Patrick's Day at most colleges. But one of the Real Housewives has a daughter who goes to school with my daughter and our friend's son. And lots of my friends' kids I'm seeing on Facebook have all committed to Delaware. And put the ginger run on TikTok so you could watch every redhead throughout all of every campus run towards a keg. Like, I don't know what you're running at near towards, but it got ugly. It looked just like the running of the Jews. Remember we talked about that with the camp when parents go visit their kids at overnight camp and they take down the ropes that are holding you back and these parents who haven't seen their kids in so long. I heard something while I was away that I think you would appreciate. You use all of these phrases like, well, that's just a frog in a pot calling a kettle purple rainbow unicorn.
If a frog had legs, he wouldn't bump his ass a hopping.
Like that. So while I was away, I heard, well, that's just throws a cat among the pigeons. And I stopped and I was like, again, that just throws a cat among the pigeons. I'm like, okay. Why would you do that?
What are we doing now?
Why would you
What's that about?
Throwing cats? I guess cats and birds don't get along. So if you threw a cat into a pile of pigeons, which I haven't seen since I lived in New York.
A lot of things I'm not doing.
What is happening? Like, I'm intrigued by all of those things. But I will also tell you that our dearest of listeners are intrigued by the fact and our feedback was overwhelming about you and brushing your teeth.
What? What'd I do? What's the matter with my teeth?
You said days go by and you don't brush your teeth. And
true.
I was shocked. I thought,
it's a fact. It's a fact. And it's a fact that exists in all the households. Toilet tissue stuck to your ass. I guarantee you that there is no one in our listening radius who uses pretend toilet seat wrapper 100% of the times that it's available.
I use toilet paper. That's what I use. I take tear, toilet paper.
So if they don't have those formed seat wax tissues?
I don't know what to do with that. So I've never used those. I've never reached in that box and taken one out.
I have to inspect it. You pull it out, you flap it. It's the shape of the toilet.
Okay.
It's like a palette. It's like a palette protector. If you've ever used a painter's palette.
What do you do with it when you're done?
It has hanging down. Okay. Have you ever used a palette protector on a paint palette? So
no.
It is the exact, so imagine this.
Of the
you can visualize the shape of a painter's palette. Now imagine if there was a piece of wax paper identical to a painter's palette right down to the hole where you stick your thumb. You lay it on top, and then when you're done, the whole thing goes in the garbage. So a toilet protector is the same idea. It is the exact shape of a toilet seat, and like a maxi pad, it has hanger down or flappers. So when you drape it on the toilet sheet, it gives you coverage of the toilet sheet and two pieces flap into the water. So after you're done, the toilet itself, without you touching it, sucks it into the toilet.
It's not too big and it's not too...
No. It has overhang in all the areas, and including the interior area, the inner area, so that it touches the water, and then the vacuum of the flush pulls the whole thing down like that kid on the airplane got a shirt sucked off. It goes all the way down into the toilet. So you don't have to touch it again once you've placed your butt cheeks on it. My point is, when you stand up, isn't it going to stick to your sweaty back and crack and cheekum area? And then now you got wet dangle pits, water.
Less worried about that than the viruses that everybody
else brought
into the...
I'm not doing that. I'm not going to risk that that's happening. I'm
not
going to, and frankly... I don't like making the noises in there when you're like flapping it. Like, I've taken it out and I've given it a flap just to look at it and like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, I like to understand my environment, but I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. I haven't done it and I won't do it. And the toothbrushing thing, get over it. I am here to tell you.
Yeah, tell us, because they were horrified that you don't brush your teeth on the reg.
I do enough. I do enough.
I decide what's enough.
It's so weird. I had a dream last night. One of my teeth fell out into my mouth. And I was like holding it.
I have that dream a lot. I'll tell you, it's a vanity dream. No, like I have a dream that all of my teeth fall. Well, I have a history, but
no, just one in the back. And I couldn't find it with my tongue. Like I couldn't find the space where the missing tooth was, but I had a tooth that I was able to spit out. I'm like, how'd I get this tooth out? What's up, man? And I was like showing my friends and they're like, I don't know. I don't think that's good is what they were saying. Yeah. Anyway. No, I brush my teeth enough, and I make a habit now of brushing them in the morning. Fib. That's a goal, and it's also because my breath is really bad. Like, I don't know what, I must be in ketosis, because it's that kind of breath where it's like, I didn't eat anything to make it like this. I really didn't.
What's that? Did I eat ass today? What happened?
You wake up, and you're like, what kind of caribou fermented thigh bone was I sucking on before I went to sleep? Not good. Yeah.
How often do you call your mother?
It's probably every 18 days, I would guess. If there's some reason to call her, yeah. I call her immediately. If I got no reason to call her, it's every couple of weeks. In a good stretch, it's every week, but it's gotten to be every couple of weeks. Yeah.
I listened to a TikTok where kids in college were asked how often they called their mom. The girls were more frequently. They said 7-8 times a day. One girl.
That's gross.
One girl.
That's gross.
I'm like, that's
gross.
Called codependence, and you should seek therapy
that's a problem.
For it,
I don't talk to anyone. I don't call my husband that much. I don't. Never in the history of my life. Not if he was on fire and had my wallet. I would not call him 7 times. Okay? No.
If he was on fire and had your wallet. Is that to you the perfect storm?
Two very valuable things
is that
are
the
burning
perfect storm?
Right now.
Is that it right there?
I need to get to you.
My husband is on fire and has my wallet. I would not board a 24-hour flight to see you. I appreciate that. I loved hearing the boys were fewer times, but still frequently. So it's the college kid. How often does your college kid call you? As the mom.
Older one likes to call. He likes to physically FaceTime and or phone time. So that's probably it's daily. Sometimes it's 2 times a day, but the calls are like this. That's the let me clarify the 7 calls a day, right? Because there have been days when I've had 4 calls from that child.
Well, that's an incident day.
No, it's not. It's oh my God, look at this bug. let me show it to you. Oh my God, that's a great bug. Hang up. Right. So that's what I'm saying. So we have that kind of a that's not really a call. Right. But it's a call like the call. Oh, my God. Did you see that state just won? We're all going to the bell tower. And I said,
click,
you hang up and run. That's awesome. That was the length of the call. Right.
So
we
just
get that's how we
share something with you. And in our family, that's a text.
Yeah. Usually the other one will text it. The other one will send me a text and say, look at this car my roommate just bought using his spare cash. Why are you such a deadbeat mom? Will you please show me love through financial gain? I get those texts every hour from the other one. Yeah. But he only calls me when there's something complicated and morally questionable that needs resolving. Yeah.
And he uses you as his compass to figure that out.
It starts at no. I don't mean like he needs my help resolving it. I mean like he needs my help preventing incarceration. Right.
Oh.
And it usually starts with something like this. OK. Right. It's always the fist into the hand. Let me break it down for you. Let me explain. And there's always a long explanation. I told you about that car. His dumb friend.
Yeah.
Bought.
Yeah. I saw it.
Yeah. That we were somehow roped into holding. We held the rims for months and months. Not months. Weeks. It's already been stolen back by the original person who.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Stolen and stripped. No, they're so stupid. They bought that car from a neighboring city, not even neighboring. They are in Elon, North Carolina, which is in between Raleigh and Greensboro, High Point, Winston-Salem-ish, right? They went to Charlotte, made a connection with this man, bought the car, drove it all the way back to Elon.
Oh, honey, that's a tough lesson.
Reconnected with him.
Why? Tell him where they live so he could steal it back?
He said, I forgot to give you something belong on that car. Why don't I drive it to you? So he now is going to drive 2 hours and did to drop it off. And golly, the very next day that car was stolen. Can you imagine? And where did they recover it? In his neighborhood in Charlotte. But here's my favorite part about shit
they
floats.
They recovered it. Wow.
The kid. Yeah. Well, it's a kid. It's this kid. Shit floats. So this kid, he's not shit, but you know what I'm saying.
So does Hope, by the way. Hope floats, too.
This kid is not shit. The reason I'm using that reference is he continues to have advantages that feel unearned. Not my child, the friend, right? So the friend had enough spending money that he could buy a car out of his spending money in his checking account without asking anyone. That's number one. Number two, had the car stolen and recovered so that, before the car was stolen, sold pieces of the car, sold the speaker system, and sold the rims on the car for more than he paid for the car. Then number three, he's already made a profit before the car was stolen. Then the car was stolen. Insurance covered the entire cost of the car, including the pieces that he had previously sold. So now he profited twice. So he ended up making close to $20,000 on this car purchase. Because he ended up getting like $11,000 in insurance money and he had sold the rims for $7,000.
That is crazy.
Right.
And what lesson did he learn from that? Do it again.
I guess life works out for me. Always. Is the lesson. Yeah. So anyway, so I'm constantly getting called. But my son, of course, is always adjacent to these buoyant Duke level children who can do whatever they want. And, I've started watching the show, which I adore. I only started it yesterday and I adore it. It's on Netflix and it's racing through the recommendations. It's like top 10, number one. It's a Guy Ritchie show called The Gentleman. And it is amazing, amazing, amazing. But on any given day, I feel as if my son behaves like the number two character on that show, who is basically well-bred with every advantage and cannot fuck up fast enough.
Right, and still.
And the only thing that differentiates me from that really insulting portrait of my son, who is not fucking up right now, he's actually killing it right now, is he ain't got the money of a Duke. Right. He acts like he hangs around with people who are in that sphere, and that's what's risky. When you hang around with folks who are, and he always has, we've worked really hard to put our kids in environments, in rooms with people who are very well heeled. And guess what? We're not, right? We scratched every penny to get you in this room. So when you get in there and people start taking 3-day long weekends to Barcelona because they can, that's not in your wheelhouse. We're not doing that. If you're going to Barcelona, it's because we've saved for 16 years to send you there.
Right, right, right. Remember that
trip
we all took?
And we're riding a bus
together.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm earning as fast
on,
so I'm earning as fast as I can to try and keep up with the changing economics of the world we live in. And when I get pressure from my kids to have more, just because around them more
they see
is commonplace.
It. I get that too. I've got a kid overseas who said spring break is coming. I'm like, yeah.
So have fun on that break.
So go to the Great Barrier. Yeah, he went to Bali for a week. He did a surf camp for a few days. He said, instead of coming home right after a program, I think, I'm like, do you? Who's paying for that, sweet boy?
Right.
Like, who's, right, what, right. How? We did the same to put them in a room with people. And the people, though, we thought that it would open opportunities for them, not to fleece us, but opportunities for them to grow their independence and wealth and not strip us of ours. So I don't think we communicated well enough. So maybe I should sit them down like all the other people. In my head, I'm trying to figure out for this podcast, do I delete the whole political conversation we had because we're a little over? And then you start talking about these kids and their thing. And I'm like, this has to stay. Nope, this has to stay. You've made this episode very hard for me to edit. I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy.
I am happy. And I hope you're happy, listeners, because with this, I am now declaring loud and proud, you're not going to delete any of it.
Really?
People don't come here for us to be edited. I wish they would. Our show would be a top 10 show if we would edit this down to a tight 11 minutes every week.
It would
and
catch
it's nothing
on, like,
but a
wildfire.
Laugh riot.
Yeah.
But guess what? I have gotten more feedback from more corners of the globe that people who are still listening at 1 hour and 10 minutes and 38 seconds are here because they're following along with the conversation. They're having a coffee with us. They're having a beer with us. They're sitting and doing the crossword. They're folding their laundry. They're driving their car. They're on the way to the thing where they need a little bit of an escape, and they're catching up. And it's okay. So it doesn't have to, nor should it, follow a logical trajectory. Leave it in. And with that, it's 1:11. We're done. I declare the show completed. Don't you fucking cut it out. Because a lot of times you cut out shit where I go off on a tangent and I feel like, oh, I'm bearing my soul. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it. And then somehow you listen to it with a clear-eyed vision later and you're like, she didn't want to do that shit. And you pull it out. And I'm like, but I did, though. But I did, though. And okay. They'll never know. Truth. Truth. Bip.
We love you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for turning us on. We hope we turned you on in some way and it wasn't political. And come back again next week.
That's it. You know we'll be rambling, sambling again.
Less Australia. We love you.
Bye. Not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. I haven't done it and I won't do it.